We're continuing on our way towards Pentecost, and then we're going to be looking into the book of Acts in the days ahead. But we're preparing for the coming of Pentecost. And so I've titled my message this morning called Waiting on God. And I'm not sure why I've been given this, because if there's one area of my life that is under a constant work of God, it's learning how to be patient. And that maybe you deal with some of the same things that you are working on. But we all experience waiting in various ways. There's the wait for news, or there's the wait for special events. There's the wait for test results coming back that maybe you're waiting on. And then there's the wait of the slow driver ahead of you. And I had to put that one in because, yes, I experienced that in my life and how to deal with that. And then there's the wait for our children to come home as well. And if you've got teenagers, maybe you've experienced some of that as well. When you've asked them to be home at 10 o'clock, and the clock is 1 minute to 10, and there's no sight of them yet, and then already you are thinking, okay, what happened to them? And so we're all waiting for different things in our life. And as I shared, it's an area that's under work in my life, and it's continually under work in my life and learning how to be patient. Part of my ministry in Papua New Guinea was that I had to put the orders together for the airplane, for the helicopter, and often they would be coming in at different times, and I was trying to do my job running the store as well as this. And so I always would get excited, get agitated. I'm sure my blood pressure went through the roof on many occasions as I sought to try and meet the plane and its schedule, the helicopter and its schedule. So let me share one story from during those days. There was a time when I was having to do shuttles out to a tribal location. And so it was a helicopter-only location. And so what it meant is that we would load the truck up with their goods that they needed. And then we sought to go as far as we could on the road and get as close as we could. Because I'm not sure if you know that a helicopter is very expensive to use. And that our mission helicopter, which we were using, was cheaper than the commercial helicopter. The commercial helicopter would charge out at about $3,000 an hour, is how it functioned. Our mission helicopter, we were able to bring that down to $800 an hour, and that is still an expensive venture. And so what you do is you try to get the cargo as close as you can. Well, we managed to rent a truck, and we got the cargo as close as we could. It was a timber camp, and a timber camp mostly staffed by Filipinos, and that also with nationals. And so we unloaded our cargo underneath a tarp, and we were expecting the helicopter to come that day. It didn't come that day. It didn't come the next day either. It didn't come until the third day, later in the afternoon. And it was raining continuously during this time. And so my anxiety was getting a little high as I was witnessing that our cargo, even though it was under a tarp, it was still getting wet and compromised. And I was making some choice expressions to why the helicopter hadn't come as of yet. And that I had no means of communication either. And so there was no cell phones, there was no any other kinds of communication. So I was totally in the dark, and they were totally in the dark about my situation as well. And so there I was, learning how to wait. And that did I do a very good job with it? No, there wasn't the best either. And so maybe you have been in that same place in your life as well, as if you have come to a place where you have had to learn how to wait. And in that waiting that God takes us through, what you are experiencing isn't necessarily patience either. And maybe what you are experiencing is that you're wondering why the wait. And we understand the biblical principle that Paul shares from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proving character. But we are not where Paul is at when we are not exalting about it. And that your state that you are in at the moment, you're not exalting in the weight that God has in carrying you through. Yes, we understand it works perseverance. We understand proven character. Thank the Lord for that. But in the present time, that's the least of what my thoughts at the moment. And our thoughts are everywhere, but on perseverance and proven character to development. The weight can be from simple to complex. We have exhausted ourselves in trying to sort it out ourselves. And isn't that the usual way, is that when we are seeking to wait, we're trying to find our own solution. We're trying to find, okay, maybe if I make this call, I can maybe speed something up. Or maybe if I do this, then maybe something can take place. And so we're all about trying to exhaust it to the point where we are exhausting ourselves, seeking the Lord's direction and why the wait, or maybe we're trying to find a human solution. The Lord, before he returned to heaven, had a conversation with his disciples. One of the messages he left with them was that they were to wait for the coming of the promise of the Father. See, now it's easy to minimize this in that they were only waiting for a promised gift. But yet if you would have looked into the life of the disciples who had been walking with Jesus and now understood that he was going to leave them, then we can understand, okay, what is life going to look like for us? Yes, we were able to operate in the power that Jesus had given them as they sought to do life over these past 3 years. But now, what is life going to look like in ministry? Because he was calling them into ministry. And so how am I going to do and achieve what God has called me to do? And so probably to them, it was a real big deal. The gift they were waiting for was the promise of the Holy Spirit, who would come as a helper and a companion. The Holy Spirit would become their constant companion, not only with them, but he would indwell them as well. Had they experienced the Holy Spirit up to this point in time, they had witnessed experiences with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit was in the life, I believe, of John the Baptist and other individuals. But they were looking forward to, what is this going to look like? What is it going to mean to be indwelt, not just empowered by the Spirit, but indwelt by the Spirit of God? You see, it was better to wait for divine equipment than to go out into holy service in our own strength. And I believe that we need to realize that as well, that if we are seeking to do ministry without the power and empowerment of the Spirit of God, then we need to pull back. And we need to wait and operate in his empowerment. The power for ministry would not be from them, but it would be from God. And so it was better to wait. And all that he had that they had sought to do in their own strength will have to be undone unless it is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, if we are going to see God work in our midst, if we are going to see God work in our hearts, and if we are going to see God work in our youth ministry and our Connect ministry, then we need to learn as a church that we need to wait upon the Lord and wait upon the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And too often what we do is we forget about the Holy Spirit and we forget about God until all of a sudden we get to the end of ourselves, and then what we do is then we turn to him and seek his empowerment. But if we, the church, would say, God, I want to move forward in obedience to you because this is what you've called me to, but I only move forward with you present. It's a little bit like when Moses was walking through the wilderness, and it was like God was having a conversation with Moses and said, you know, I'm not going to go forward with you because I'm so frustrated with this group of people. And God, and Moses basically had to put before the Lord, God, unless you go forward, then I'm not going forward basically either. And so he beseeched the Lord, God, we need you, and we as a church need him to be able to do this ministry that he's called us to do. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let's look into the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I just want to read verses 44 to 53, the end of the chapter. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Starting at verse 44. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. This is Luke's account of Jesus' last time with his disciples before returning to heaven. And we turn over to the book of Acts, and we see in the first chapter there a further continuation of Luke's account of Jesus' last time with his disciples. They were to wait for the coming of the Spirit, who is described to them as being clothed with power from on high. And Luke, as I said, further continues this in the book of Acts. Jesus precedes his instructions to them, on them, waiting, with a recap of what he had sought to teach them over the past 3 years they were with him. And so as he sought this time, and I'm not sure how long this time was that he had this as he came to the end of his earthly ministry, but he sought to give them some further instruction. One of the things he wanted to instruct them upon was all that took place in and through him. He brings 3 years of teaching into a summary verse. The disciples on the road to Emmaus received a like message in Luke 24, 27. And it would have been more extensive, but would have been with the same intention as well. And so he seemingly summarizes in this one verse here of verse 44, a summary of all that he had taught them over these past 3 years. And it was intentional that he wanted to teach them, because he wanted to leave with them a principle that they needed to take forward into their ministry. If they were going to be effective in their teaching with the instruction that God had for them, they needed to learn Christological foundation of the Old Testament. And so he took them to the law of Moses. It refers to the first five books of the Old Testament. The law of the prophets refers to the second section of the Old Testament, consisting of the former prophets, Joshua through 2 Kings, and then latter prophets, major prophets, Isaiah through Ezekiel, and the minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi. The third section mentions the Psalms, which make reference to the rest of the Old Testament, with the Psalms being the largest of the books. And so what he wanted to do is he wanted them to understand in their teaching to have a foundation that we need to see Christ in all of Scripture. As we read the Old Testament, it's not just great stories. It's not just great things that we teach in our Connect classes. But it's a teaching that we need to see Christ in all of Scripture. John 5, verse 39 shares with us, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." And so the Scriptures testify about Jesus. One author has stated that if we do not see Jesus in the pages of the Old Testament, we need to go back and we need to dig deeper. Because what he does is he lays it out for us all, and a true understanding of Christ in all of Scriptures. For Luke, the Old Testament was a Christ-centered story from beginning to end. This was not grasped by the disciples during Jesus' ministry fully. And now with Jesus explaining this truth with them, they grasped it and they communicated it as part of their ministry in the book of Acts. And so as we eventually will be going through the book of Acts, we will see their understanding had grown and that they came to a place of understanding that they saw Christ in the Old Testament. Philip, to the Ethiopian eunuch, showed him the truths of Christ in the Old Testament. The sermon by Stephen took them through their history and God's interaction with them over their past history. Paul, in chapter 13, explains Christ through the Old Testament as well. And so as they sought to communicate the gospel, they came at it with a proper foundation of Christ in all of Scripture as they shared Scripture with them. They needed to wait with their ministry until they came to grips with the foundation of their theology of Christ in all of Scripture. And we need to come to grips as well in our theology, that we might see Christ in all of Scripture. Jesus then furthered his time with the disciples by opening their mind to understand the scriptures. Through Jesus' interpretation of the scriptures, the disciples came to understand the scriptures' teaching concerning his death and resurrection. As they were walking into ministry with a Christological foundation, and the message that they were going to give, one of the foundations as well is the Christ's death and his resurrection and the importance of that in their teaching and in the life of every believer. The new understanding contrasts with their earlier lack of understanding, as we saw in chapter 9, verse 45, chapter 18, verse 34. The disciples' new understanding of the necessity of Jesus' death and resurrection was not achieved through their own study of the scriptures. What was involved was not a new hermeneutic or method of interpretation. Rather, this understanding was given to them by Jesus. And so Jesus sought to give them understanding of what are you going to teach, because in the past, what the Jewish people believed is that for you to come to the truth, you had to basically become a Jewish person. You had to come. You had to be circumcised. You had to join the Jewish people. And that's kind of was their thinking. But now as they walk forward with understanding that God's message is inclusive of all ethnicities, under the foundation that of Christ's death, the importance of Christ's death, the importance of his resurrection, that each of us needs to come in faith and repentance to believe and put our trust in him. The Jewish nation had to come to that same place as well. Yes, we understand from the Old Testament that Abraham came to the point in his understanding where he knew that. But each of us need to come to that foundation as well. We all come the same way. The Jewish people, the Gentile nations, and all peoples around the world. And maybe Jesus took them to Psalm 22. Maybe he took them to Isaiah 53 as examples of prophecy of his coming suffering. Since the prophecies concerning the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus' passion and resurrection, this serves as proof for Luke that Jesus is the Messiah. And the message they were to preach is the repentance and for the forgiveness of sins in his name. And so, as you go forward, my disciples, go with the understanding that in all of Scripture, we're seeing Christ. Then secondly, come with the foundation of the importance of Jesus' death and resurrection for the repentance of sins. They were to begin at Jerusalem, but they were to carry it to all nations. They would have been well accepting of sharing the message at Jerusalem, but would have demanded a major shift of thinking to carry it to the nations. The Jewish people had developed a very standoffish mentality to the Gentiles. Acts 10 shares Peter's experience entering the house of Cornelius. And Peter shared with them in verse 28 of chapter 10. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I would not call any man unholy or unclean." And so we know that this is a continuation of the story when Peter saw the sheet come down with all the unclean animals in it, according to him, unclean animals. And God told him to get up, to partake. And Peter had a battle with him. And on three different occasions, Jesus had to teach him that his instruction, the teaching, that what he calls acceptable is acceptable. In fact, what I'm told is that is the greatest case for being a meat eater in the scriptures against vegetarianism. And so if you want to support with that passage, then that is the one that you can use as one of your supports. And that's just a free bit of information here this morning. When Peter returned to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision took issue with him. And he had to explain to them why he carried it out what he did. Paul and Barnabas had to deal with great dissension and debate in the Antioch church, so much so that they had to go to Jerusalem to find a solution to their answer as well. And so they dealt with it as well. When Paul came and explained to them of God's dealings with the Gentiles, and then he had to explain to the church there. God's desire for his disciples was that they would begin at Jerusalem, but that it would go out to all the nations. And Acts 1 verse 8 gives further clarity, and that it was to go to all Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. God's message, even from the beginning, was that the message, his message, would go out to the nations. In fact, he sought and gave that mission to the Jewish people, that they would carry it out. And they were unwilling to do that. And so God's mandate again to his disciples here is carry this message to the nations. They were witnesses to these things. They were not just proclaimers of Jesus' message, but eyewitnesses who were to share their personal experience of the risen Christ. The earlier mission of the 12 and the 70 were a foretaste of the future mission of Jesus, witnesses after the resurrection. In verse 49, Jesus wanted them to make sure that they heard him and that they were to wait until the coming of the Spirit, who was a promise of the Father. It was only a few days previous at the death of Jesus that we saw the disciples going their separate ways. They did not want to be associated with this Jesus. And so they all split and went their own direction. And now he's calling them to move forward with power from on high. They had been trained and taught and mentored over the previous 3 years, but they were still not ready to carry the message and fulfill the call of God in their lives. It was better to wait for divine enablement than to go out to holy service in their own strength. Papua New Guinea has had much evangelism from various faith bodies over the years. We can go through multiple different areas of PNG, and they seemingly have split the country up. This is our area, this is their area, and whatever. But yet, they as a nation are impoverished because they have a form of religion without the power and the presence of God. And we run the risk of the same thing in our lives and ministry. If we seek to move ahead of God's empowerment, God's gifting in and through our ministry, there will be some of those Jesus. They will be some of those that Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 7, believing that because they prophesied in his name, cast out demons and performed miracles, and God says in response to them is, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." They have a form of religion going on, without the power, empowerment of the Spirit of God, or without the presence of God. Now, we can put our own modern practices of doing religion into this verse as well. I was a faithful attender. And the definition of a faithful attender is now determined at 50% attendance. That is what is called a faithful attender. And so most of us would say, "Yay, I'm a faithful attender." Or, "I gave large amounts of my finances to the church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a deacon in the church." And the villages where one of these churches are located are harder to reach with the truth of the gospel, because you must on teach before you can teach the truth of the scriptures. When a person made in the image of God comes in faith and repentance and becomes a child of God with the abiding presence of the Spirit of God and moves forward in obedience to the command of God left for us in Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. In the power of the Spirit, then we witness the story of Acts with the beginning of the church. And many of us often, as we read that story in the book of Acts, it's almost like we come at it with a jealousy. Wow, God really moved in their day. And do you know what? The God that we serve has not changed. He's still the same today as he was then, as he will be in the future. And we, the church today, can still move forward in that power that they experienced, if we simply seek to wait upon the Lord as we seek to prepare in ministry. The word that is used in verse 49, sending forth, is a word that we get the word apostle. The meaning of the word is to commission as a representative, an ambassador, one called and sent out as an official representative of another. And God has given us that mandate to each of us as well, that we might go forth as his apostles, representing him with the message, the clear message, the message from the Old Testament of Christ in all of Scripture, the message of the death and burial and the importance of that, and the importance of carrying out the true message of the gospel. They were to remain in the city until they were clothed with power. And I'm not sure they knew how long the wait would be, but they were faithful to the command. I'm sure their understanding of what it would mean to be clothed with the Holy Spirit was not fully understood either. They had experienced the enablement of Jesus when they were sent out two by two. Yes, when Jesus had sent them out in the groups of two by two, in the 12 and the 70, They got to experience great things. They got to do great things, casting out demons and healing as well. But when he's called the principal, or sorry, gave them the truth that the Holy Spirit would come, I'm not sure they fully understood all the ramifications of that that would take place. And I believe we are in some degree like the disciples, in that we are unaware of what it means to be clothed with power. If we did, would we not be willing to wait? We do not wait for the coming of the Spirit, but do we wait in prayer in our ministry preparation that we would be clothed with power from on high? As we seek to prepare whatever the ministry that God has called us to, whether that be a Connect ministry or whether that be a youth ministry or whether that be just the ministry of being an encouragement, do we take the time in our preparation that we seek the Lord in prayer? God, I want to do what you've called me to do in your empowerment and not my empowerment. Often we can have a low self-image of ourselves and then we don't value ourselves at all. But that's not the truth either. What God wants us to do is for us to operate in his gifts that he has given to us. He wants us to operate in obedience to his direction and his leading in our lives. But we think of being a Connect teacher. We think about being a youth sponsor. But this goes beyond those ministries. What about waiting on God for empowerment to be a messenger of peace and encouragement? Empowered to demonstrate love in relationship with another member of the body of Christ. Do we seek to do that in preparation for that, what God has laid upon our hearts? And God lays upon our hearts the need for encouragement, the need for correction. And so do we seek his face? God, I want to do this in obedience to you in your empowerment. Waiting on God for empowerment to bring correction and reconciliation. And God has uniquely put the church together that we might be able to minister one to another. And this morning, I come before you and I say, I'm in need of correction as well, and encouragement and accountability. But I am not in need of that if you are not operating in the power of the Spirit and under the direction of the Spirit. It's easy to then just make excuses for not doing it. But if you're burdened about it, then you need to take it to the Lord in prayer and seek his empowerment in obedience. I need you, the church, to minister to me as I minister to the church. And that is the one of the unique gifts that he's given to us as the body of Christ, that we might be able to do that, but that we might do that in the ministry and the empowerment of the Spirit of God, and that God might take our word and that I might carry it through. And I need to be able to listen as well. We live in a more faster now society, and we're burning ourselves out. Waiting is not procrastination or laziness. It is a time apart, finding his rest and seeking him that we might display his fruit as well. The fruit of the Spirit. That the fruit of the Spirit might be on display in our lives. That we might have kindness, that we might have love, that we might have graciousness to one another in all that we do and operate as well. So how are we doing in the display of the fruit of the Spirit in each of our lives? David saw the need for this in his life. And he shares with us in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Purpose, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. When was the last time that we pulled ourselves apart and simply before the Lord said, God, I just want to take some time to just dwell before your face, that I might look upon your beauty, that I might be able to just meditate before you and see you. Do we need to come apart that we might find his rest this morning? So this is some encouragement that Jesus left for his disciples, that our ministry might have a proper foundation, that we might see Christ in all the scriptures, that as we teach, we might display him. And then secondly, that we might understand his death and resurrection, the importance of that as a foundation of our teaching. But then we might move forward as well and proclaim this message before the nations as God empowers us, that we as a church might be able to experience the power of God in this ministry, in all aspects of it. May that be our heart's cry this morning. Let me close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your word to the disciples. One of your last messages while you were on earth with them, and you sought to give them a foundation. And Heavenly Father, we need to understand that same foundation in our ministry. But that Heavenly Father, we, your church, might move in the power of your Spirit as we seek you, your work, and your ministry to move forward, not only here in Osler, not only in Saskatchewan, but out to the ends of the earth as well. And Heavenly Father, may you teach us this morning, for praying this in your name. Amen.